I started teaching on the subject of temptation in our young adult class, and I think I've taught one of the lessons in a combined class, and we're going to carry on that series this morning. In James chapter number 1, it's very, very important that we understand temptation, because every single one of us is going to face temptation. The more that you understand about it, the more you are able to break down the ingredients of it, the more you're going to understand what is happening, and the more knowledgeable you'll be as far as avoiding temptation. Now, there's two main reasons I don't want to give in to temptation. Number one, I love the Lord. And you know what? He's deserving of me living in an obedient life. You see, I feel like if I give in to temptation, then I've hurt my Lord more than I've hurt anybody else. And I think that ought to be the primary motivation for each and every one of us to want to live right. Preacher, why does it even matter? Who cares? Well, God cares. And you know, sin hurts the heart of God. And when you really elevate your love for the Lord and it gets to where it ought to be, you know, you can give a lot of other reasons why you shouldn't give in to temptation, but you know, at some point that ought to be good enough. Number one, I love the Lord. Number two, I hate the devil. You know what? I don't want him to win. And I know who's behind temptation, and I know who the tempter is. And so for me, it's not a difficult thing. They had the baby? All right, tell me. Lydia Hope? Yeah, okay, so we don't have poundage and all of that. You know, when men catch bass, they always weigh them and measure them. And when, so we aren't going to get anything. All right. We have a baby, folks. We have a baby. All right. That's awesome. What a blessing. Good, good. But you know what? If you love the Lord, that ought to be a good reason just to do the right thing. If you hate the devil, and you ought to hate the devil. You know, me and him are not friends. I don't understand Christians that want to have a relationship with the devil and spend most of their time working for him instead of the Lord. And I say this from time to time. I'm his avowed enemy, and he's my avowed enemy. He hates everything I love. I love everything he hates. We're pulling in two different directions. I don't have anything in common with the devil. I'm not going to sit around playing footsie with the devil. I'm not working part-time for the Lord and part-time for the devil. You know, if you want to live that kind of Christian life, go at it. But I think, you know what, God is deserving of our love, our loyalty, and this matter of temptation really, folks, is a struggle between good versus evil. You know, God wants us to do the right thing. The devil wants us to do the wrong thing. Hey, why don't you get on God's side, amen? You know, the devil hasn't done anything for you. He hates you. He's a murderer. He's a liar. And yet we would spend our life serving a murderer and a liar, someone whose entire purpose is our self-destruction. Or we could spend our life serving someone that not only said that he loved us, but proved it by sending his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross. So, you know, I want to do well. I want God to be proud of me when I face temptation. I want to make the right choices because God's deserving of it. And I don't want the devil to win at anything. So if I'm gonna succeed in this, in overcoming temptation, making the right choices, then I need to understand temptation. Now, we taught this in James chapter 1. The Bible says in verse number 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So one thing we can stop and say right away, if you're tempted to do wrong, God doesn't have a thing to do with it. Don't you ever blame God or drag him in on it, okay? Because he does not tempt men with evil. So if God's not doing it, then who is doing it? That's right, Satan, it's the devil. So now, Bible says this, verse 14, but every man is tempted, and here it is, there's two ingredients to a temptation, two things that have to be present for a temptation to occur. I like breaking things down, folks. I like understanding the ingredients. I want to understand how things work. But every man is tempted when he, number one, is drawn away of his own lust, and number two, enticed. Now, those are the two elements that must come together in order for a temptation to occur. Let's just start out with ourselves. As much as a lot of times we want to blame somebody else for tempting us to do wrong, the Bible says the first ingredient that causes us to face a temptation is being drawn away of our own lusts. And so, you know what? A temptation is not going to occur in your life unless there's already a secret desire to do something you should not do. That's what it's talking about when it talks about lust there. It's just something, that simply word simply means a desire. So when we have a desire within us that is not a good godly desire, and the devil picks up on that. He can't read your mind, but he can watch you. He can see where your eyes linger. He can see what gets your attention. He can see what you stare at and ponder. And so when the devil starts figuring out, okay, there's something inside of them that they are desiring, and you know what, it's not a good thing, then he's going to secondly send an enticer to come alongside. Now, an enticer is that person that comes along with words to convince you that what you want to do that's wrong, you ought to just do it. They're that temptation voice, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. So if we're going to insulate ourselves against temptation, the first thing we need to do is really do a self-examination of our own heart, because we ought to want the right things. We ought to desire the right things. The Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. So the more we delight in God, the more we're going to receive from him correct desires, right desires. And we need to be honest with ourselves. What is it that secretly we would like to do that we know down deep we shouldn't do? What is it secretly we'd like to, a place we'd like to go that we know down deep we shouldn't go? We have to face those things and say, Lord, first of all, before we deal with everybody else, fix me. You know, sometimes I think we just need to make a trip to an altar and just say, Lord, I need my wanter fixed. You know, I sometimes say this to young people. I say, you know, why is it that your mom and dad, I mean, in order to get you to do right, they almost have to put a gun to your head and walk around behind you. Why is there such a strong desire in your heart to do wrong? Take that to the Lord. You see, folks, you can desire the right things. And if you desire the right things and stop desiring the wrong things, you know what? You're not going to face a lot of temptation in life. Let me say it again. You're not going to face a lot of temptation in life. You know, I use the illustration of, suppose I was at Casey's uptown here and I was fueling up the truck, and some good old boy pulls up alongside, and he's in a pickup truck and he's got a cooler in the back, and he starts putting fuel in, and he opens the cooler and pulls out a beer and says, hey, bud, you want a beer? You say, oh, preacher, you're facing a temptation. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. It's a funny story to tell later on that somebody offered to preach your beer, you know, but there is no hidden secret desire in my heart for a beer. So at that moment, I face zero temptation. You know why? Because I don't have a desire for that. See, folks, listen, temptation don't work unless you've already got an inclination, a leaning, a desire. That's when you face a temptation. So the thing that I want to help all of us with is, you know, let's first of all ask the Lord, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be a wicked way in me. Why is it that I long for, yearn for this particular thing? Why is it that there's such a hunger in my heart, a desire in my heart for this wrong thing? And Lord, listen, I need that fixed. And you know what, folks? You know how you get rid of desiring the wrong thing? This is rocket science. Listen up. You know how you overcome desiring the wrong things? You start desiring the right things. What is the absolute opposite of the negative thing that you're desiring? Well, why don't you just ask God to give you a heart for that positive good thing? And so, first of all, a temptation occurs when we in our hearts are wanting something or desiring something that we should not have, place we should not go, something we should not see, and then the devil then sends in an enticer. The second ingredient is the enticer. Now, preacher, what is an enticer? Well, I'm going to give you a good definition of it. In Colossians 2:7, we're warned this, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. That's very important that you understand enticement and enticing words. What the enticer uses is words. Now, that's very first thing you need to understand, very important. Go to Deuteronomy, if you will, chapter 13. I want you to look at a portion of scripture that deals with the enticer. And God, even in the Old Testament law, gave the children of Israel, warning concerning the activity of enticers and how to deal with an enticer. In Deuteronomy chapter number 13, I want to kind of describe this enticer. I want you to understand what an enticer, who an enticer is, how they work. The devil uses people sometimes. Sometimes it's an actual human being. Sometimes, I'll take you back to the Garden of Eden, but I'm telling you, sometimes there's not a human being there, but you're still hearing that enticing voice. Sometimes it's a direct satanic or demonic temptation attack, but somebody's using words to encourage you to do something you shouldn't do. In Deuteronomy chapter number 13, if you'll look at verse number 6, the Bible says, "If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul," I mean, that's your, yeah, that's your BBF, that's BBF, best friend, BFF, that's your best friend forever, okay? Watch this, entice thee, what's the next word? Secretly, saying, why are they, what are they doing? You're using what? Words. Folks, listen, a person's not enticing you if they take a gun, put it to your head, make you do something. That's not an enticement, that's force. The only tool an enticer has is words. And so somebody comes to you and says, saying, "Let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee or far off from thee, from the end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth." Now here's how we're supposed to respond. We'll get to this as we go down and teach it. But how do you respond to an enticer? "Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him. Neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him." Now again, what we're taught here is a couple things. An enticer, the only tool that they have, the only leverage, the only influence they have on us is words. Now it's very important. People that succumb to a lot of temptation really are the kind of people that aren't strong enough to stand up to words. You know, we call it peer pressure. It's really fear pressure. Peer pressure is fear pressure because somebody comes and they use words to try to get us to do something that we shouldn't do. And you know what? We are so afraid of them having a wrong opinion of us or afraid that they're not going to be our friends anymore that we succumb to it. Now, folks, listen to me. Understand, I want to describe an enticement. How's the temptations happen? Well, first of all, there's something inside of us we haven't got fixed. And the devil knows it. So he sends somebody along to use words to try to entice us. And that word enticement is such an interesting word. That it's translated, the Hebrew word that's translated entice means to make roomy, or to open or to enlarge. Now think about that, to make roomy, to open or enlarge. The enticer encourages you to be more open-minded. You'll hear people that are enticers always talking about being more open-minded, okay? To make room in your mind to at least consider the possibility of an action. They help enlarge your desire and make the possibility more alluring and appealing. They are the persuasive, deceptive voice that tell you that it is okay to do what is not okay to do. Go ahead, give in, let's just go do it. Now, see what the devil uses? First of all, there's something inside of us that should have been fixed, but we haven't fixed it. By the way, what are you playing around with? Come on, I'm trying to help some of you. What are you playing around with? What are you looking at? This technology keeps me terrifying. There's sins and stuff that's available to the average person that never would have been available when I was growing up. And you know what? If you're not careful, you're going to start allowing some things to come into your life, and then an enticer is going to come, and they're going to feed that, and you're going to mess your life up. So what do? We first of all better look at our own self. But then when a person comes up to us and they begin to use words to convince you that what you want to do is okay when it's not okay. Now think about that. The Bible also tells us that they're going to come and do this secretly. Okay? I promise you, no enticer has ever walked up and started enticing somebody at the back door of the church right in front of the preacher. All right? Enticers don't come to your kids in front of you. They're going to come secretly. Okay? Now think about this. What do they use? What's the only thing they have to use? Words. Now, think about that. All of a sudden, the usage of words and the ways, different ways that words can get to all of us because of this thing right here, all of a sudden, listen, my dad, he didn't want me around the wrong crowd, and I got in trouble. He just went and sent me to my room. And I sat in there in the four walls, and I stared at them, they stared at me. I was isolated. You send the average teenager to their room, they don't care, they'd rather be in their room. You know why? Because they have access to anybody and anything they want because we've allowed them to have this in their hand. Now, I want all of you to think about it. I want all of you to think about it. Who, through words right now, has gotten into your life? Who, through words right now, are pecking away at you and trying, and listen, they are a source of discouragement when it comes to spiritual things. They've gotten you to the point where you are lighthearted about things you shouldn't be lighthearted about. You're scornful about things you shouldn't be scornful about. Are you listening to me? Those words have an effect. Now, listen, there's a couple things. First of all, yes, I'm not going to, if I end up sinning, it's on me, okay? But, and it's because of something that I didn't fix in here. But you know what? We all have weak areas. The Bible talks about our besetting sins. We may be wise enough to know what those weak areas are. And then when somebody comes along and they start using words to throw fuel on that fire and encourage us to do something we shouldn't do, what we need to do as a Christian, remember what I said at the beginning? Do we love God enough to do right? Do we hate the devil enough to not want him to win? Then what we need to do is say, all right, you know what? There's a frailty in me that the devil is appealing to, and he's using this person to help me go down a path or think wrong or have a wrong attitude or be thinking about doing something I shouldn't be doing. And you know what the Bible says? Hey, you know what? When you recognize that person as an enticer, what you need to do is you need to say no to them. You don't need to be hearkening to them. The Bible says don't spare them. Don't pity them. Bible says, don't conceal them. We're going to talk about that. Preacher, how do you overcome temptation? Well, first of all, we've got to learn how to properly deal with enticers. If somebody's an enticer and they're an influence on you to try to get you to always have the wrong attitude, or a bad spirit about spiritual things, a hateful spirit, a scorner spirit, why are you spending time with them? Why are you interacting with them? You know, these things, you can block numbers. You know, you can just cut people off. Well, then they won't be my friend. They're not your friend now. They're not your friend. If they're an enticer, I don't care what a nice person they are, how you want to convince yourself. Isn't it interesting what the Bible says here? If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or thy wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul. You know what, folks? Enticers can come from sometimes the most unlikely places. You get saved. Maybe there's members of your family that's not saved. You know what? All of a sudden, they become that enticing voice. They're the ones that are chipping away all the time, trying to discourage you concerning church attendance, trying to discourage you concerning living for the Lord, the things of God. A preacher, their family. You know what? The Bible recognizes sometimes it can be family. You know, sometimes you have to just say really plain to a family member, you know, I love you. And you know what? We're always going to be related. But I want you to understand something. From now on, this subject's off limits. I don't want to hear your negativity. I don't want to hear your criticism of the church I attend. I don't want to hear any of it. If we go down that road, I'm turning you off. Okay? Conversation over. I go get my car. I go home. You want to talk about the Cubs? We'll talk about the Cubs. Well, maybe not. You want to talk about the Colts? We'll talk about the Colts. You want to talk about the weather? We'll talk about the weather. But the minute you want to start getting negative concerning the things that are important, by the way, you know what, folks? A lot of I hate to say this, but parents, you have to guard your own children sometimes against family members that want to sneak around secretly and pull your teenage boy, your teenage daughter over and start being negative concerning, because, you know, either they're unsaved or they're so carnal that they are bothered by the direction of your family's life, and they're going to find little ways to come in and try to peck away at that and destroy that and discourage that and cause a root of bitterness in their heart. You know what? There's some tough decisions sometimes that have to be made. But you know what? If we allow enticers and the voice of an enticer, I say this often, but come on, husbands, you have to help your wives sometimes. And by the way, wives, let your husband help you. Okay? If every single time they have a conversation or spend a day with a certain person, they come back and they're negative about things that they ought to be positive about and talking up things that they shouldn't even be having anything to do with, ma'am, don't get mad at your husband for pointing that out. He's helping you. By the way, men, can we allow our wife to have a say in that too? If she sees something similar in our lives? You know, let's love each other. Let's protect each other. Let's guard each other. As a preacher, how do I know if there's an enticer? If there's an enticer in my life that's using this thing right now on me? Okay, I'll help you find out who that person is right now, okay? If I asked for your phone right now, and I went to all your text messages, and I reviewed everything that certain people are saying to you, the tone of voice, the sarcasm, the scorner's attitude, the negativity, who would you be scared to death of the preacher reading your text messages? That's the person you need to get rid of. All right? That's the person that's hurting you. Okay, that's the person that God brought your preacher up here to warn you about. Okay, and this idea of friendship. Well, she's my friend, he's my friend. They're not if they're trying to destroy you spiritually. They're not if they're dragging you down. Now, folks, what I'm saying is this. You know what? When I decided I was going to live full out for the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what I had to do? I had to cut some relationships. I had to cut some ties. And I'm not saying that person was bad and I was good. All I know is the two of us weren't good for each other. As a youth pastor, sometimes I've just brought two teenagers in and their parents and said, listen, I'm not saying one of these kids is bad and one of them is good. I think they're two good kids, but they're not good for each other. Anytime they get around each other, they bring out the worst in each other. So you know what? I think this thing just needs to stop. Go to your separate corners. Amen. Amen. Some tough decisions have to be made. But you know what, folks? Once you ruin your life, once you've destroyed your life, you think that person's going to be there to help you? You know how many people ought to be sitting in the auditorium, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, if they'd have just listened to what, and this isn't, Brother Tom, this is not the first time I've taught this, is it? He came to me one time and said, preacher, when you preach on that, teach on that enticer, you should go through that once every year. And he's right. I think it's been a few years, but this is something that has taken out good Christians one right after another. Dealing with a situation. I'm going to just blow the trumpet. If I'm going to say it, let's blow it loud, okay? And this isn't in this area. This is not somebody, I don't think anybody in here would know. But a friend of a friend and a young man and a good wife and a sweet family. And you know what? He is going to destroy his marriage and destroy his life. You know why? Because he started talking to some woman who he was just going to help. Now, you young men, you better listen to me. It's not your job to help some other woman besides your wife. If that woman needs help, let your wife help her. Why did God call you to do it? I'm so sick of hearing this, well, we're just friends and I'm just trying to help. No, you're playing with fire and you're going to get tore up. you're gonna blow your marriage up and shame the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you know what? You're messing around with an enticer. And by the way, it wouldn't be working if there wasn't something broke in here that you better figure out and get fixed. Okay, why don't you invest that time in your own marriage? Why don't you invest that time communicating with your own wife? Why don't you hit that reset button? Why are you letting the devil destroy you? Now, boy, this is good advice, preacher. You seem exercised. I'm tired of watching the devil win. I'm tired of watching good couples and their marriages be destroyed just because a guy decides that he's met some girl online and, you know, here's the damsel in distress and he's going to be the one that helps. And next thing you know, he lost his heart. So listen, folks, we got to be aware of it. We got to understand it. I'm going to tell you something. I carry a phone. It's a tool. It's not a toy with me. I say that all the time. Okay, this is a tool, it's not a toy. All right, it's not something to be, you know, this is something we use for the ministry, something we use to communicate necessary things. But it's not a playground. Amen. Okay, it's not some place just sit on there and goof around. It's not a place to get on there and next thing you know, you're on a text link or all this other Instagram, whatever you're on. And by the way, man alive, if you're on Snapchat, shame on you. I'm going to sit here and tell you everything that you can and can't be on, but you know what? If you've got to have a device on your phone that sends a message that automatically deletes it, what are you doing? What are you doing? Well, my friends are on it. Well, you've got the wrong friends. They're not your friends. Okay, what are you hiding? If you're going to have one of these, you ought to have complete transparency. My wife knows the password to get into my phone. She knows she can pick it up anytime. She can look at anything and everything on there. And I can do the same with her phone. And I want her to. Well, it's none of her business. I don't know why she's always looking at my phone. Come on. What's the real problem, mister? Why does that bother you? Now, this is good for us. You say, preacher, man, listen, I'm just standing up here trying to save a marriage or two. Okay, I don't want your kids to grow up in a broken home. Don't play with this stuff. Okay? Don't play with this stuff. The devil's setting a trap. What does he do? He notices there's something inside of you that's not right. He sends the right person at the right time. All they got is words. Words. That's all they have. But it's always done secretly. Like I said, you know, an enticer's not going to walk up and tempt somebody right in front of the preacher. They're not going to be doing their business in the foyer in front of adults. They're going to be pulling somebody off the back over here in the parking lot somewhere in a dark corner. Okay, they're going to be using this thing. But you know what? Guess what? You're in a communication thread of some kind with somebody that your wife doesn't know about, your husband doesn't know about, or your kids are doing it without the knowledge of mom and dad. Listen, there ought to be, if you can't be 1,000% transparent with this thing and you can't handle that, then get rid of it. I mean, I'd rather you get rid of it. They have these things called pay phones. Do they still have pay phones? You have to look hard. I'm sure there's one or two left out there. I'd rather you use smoke signals and have a marriage. Because this, folks, this stuff's real. This technology has destroyed marriages and destroyed young people. And, well, my kid has a cell phone, but they are not doing anything wrong on it. How do you know? How do you know? They're smarter at it than you are. And by the way, I'll say this. I'm not for our teenagers having these things. I'm not for them. I'm just, you know, you got to make up your mind what you do. But you know what? There's a time and an age where they really don't have what it takes to handle this. But the thing is, I can sit here and say this, but sooner or later, after they hit 17, 18, at some point they're going to get one. And guess what? You got to start being an adult. You ought to have rules. You ought to have standards. There's things I use this for and things I refuse to use this for. You know, every once in a while someone's going, hey, did you know on your phone you could do this? No. Well, let me show you. I don't want to know. But you don't, you have, you're not using even a 1/1,000,000th of what that thing's capable of. Well, Brother Frank, back in the day, late 60s and 70s, they were producing some muscle cars in the United States. God bless America. Amen. And some of those muscle cars had the capacity, some of them had speedometers that showed 160 miles an hour. American-made cars. You know, just because you buy a car that can go 160 miles an hour does not mean that you should drive 160 miles an hour. Just because you have a device that will do some things does not mean that it is safe or smart to do it. So what, listen, boy, this is good. What do you really need this? I said, need this for? Write it down. Then that's what you use it for. They're making a new app every hour of every day that can do something really cool and neat and wow. Or you could use your brain. And this thing has become an adult pacifier. I'm already here, and we're out of time, so I'm just going to finish my rant, okay? It's been a while since I got up and just held this thing. I want to tell everybody in church this because you need to hear it, okay? This is not your pastor's cell phone. This is your pastor's portable answering machine that I keep in my pocket. Just a reminder to our church members every once in a while. Don't get frustrated if I don't answer every time it rings. You don't have preacher on demand. Let me say it again. You don't have preacher on demand. Okay, if you want something, then leave a message. By the way, tell me what you want. I'm not letting this thing control my life. I mean, there's people in this church that if your phone buzzes during a Sunday school lesson, you cannot not check it. You know why? Because this is your God. It controls you. You don't control it. Some of you don't even know it has an off button. It does. Let me show you. You push this thing like this on the side, and that little bar shows up, and you go like that. Now it's off. For some people, if this thing was off for 1 hour, they'd have a nervous breakdown. This thing has become a God. It's controlling you. Stop letting it control you. Take back your life. Now I tell folks, you know what? I check my portable answering machine often during the day. I do know that sometime there can be an emergency, and I say, if I got it on and you call back several times in a row, I'll answer. But it better be an emergency. If you're doing that, don't play games with me. Okay, one guy did that one time, and he will never do it again. I blew him up. Say, what did he want? I don't know. I hung up on him. Don't play games with me. No, I just don't think. Listen, I've been in counseling sessions in my office. People, not the people that I asked to come in for counsel, people who asked to come in for counsel and wanted my time. And I'd say about three sentences, and their phone would buzz, and they'd say, oh, just a minute. Oh, I got to answer this. Just. After about the second, third time that happened, I say, okay, you can make a choice. You can turn that thing off. Folks, that's called being rude. Rude. It is. It's rude. You ask for my time. You know, I got the million-dollar idea. I still haven't followed up with it. I need a millennialist to help me. Brother Young, help me with this, all right? I'll give you a cut. If we could just produce a King James Holy Bible that vibrated. Because some of you are so pre-programmed that if something vibrates, you just grab it and start reading it. Man, we could have revival, man. Yes, yes, yes. Put a ringer in it with all kinds of different ringtones, you know. You can gobble like a turkey. Because we are so pre-programmed that if something vibrates or ring, we got to stop and read it. We got to see what it says. Amen. That might work. Might get people back on track. Listen, you're adults. I'm teaching an adult class. And you know what? I'm going to walk out of here and I'm going to do what I want to do, and you're going to walk out of here and do what you want to do. But I hope some of you are listening to a voice of reason. Because this thing and this technology has made a bunch of dullards out of us. We can't think for ourselves. I hand the average person an atlas and say, map out a trip to Florida. You wouldn't even know. Come on now. What happened to the human brain? Okay. I know that there are some advantages. I use it for a certain limited number of things. Figure out what you need it for and stop playing with it. This will help you. You say, preacher, why is this? Because the number one, we're going to get back where we started and we'll be done. The number one way enticers are using their words and getting to our people is through this. And I said that a minute ago, and I want you to take it seriously. If your preacher picked up your phone, said, let me go back and let me look down through these text lines and see what y'all been talking about, would you be ashamed of some of the things that you not only allow people to say to you, but you join in with? Well, you need to clean your act up. Not because the preacher sees it or might see it, but because the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And that person is setting you up for a fall. And your entire attitude can change about the things of God just simply by allowing the wrong words and the wrong voices. I could go on. I want to go on. Too many of you are getting advice from your peers. Too many of you are getting advice on a regular basis from another young person that's not even in church. And yet they're the first one you go to and say, Hey, I'm facing this. What would you do about this? You don't call the preacher and ask for advice. And I'm the one that's supposed to watch for your soul. But you'll ask advice on a regular basis of another young person that's not even in church. And I know you're doing it. You know what? It's not my job. You're an adult. It's not my job to come to you and say, hey, ding dong. But I should. You know what? What are you doing? That person isn't spiritual enough to even walk in the door of a church, and yet you're making major decisions of your life, what you should and shouldn't do based on their opinion. Why do you care about their opinion? Okay? You need to start thinking. Who's guiding your life? Who's got your ear? Who's the strongest voice? Who has the most sway in your life? What kind of person are they really? Not by what they say, but by looking at them, what are they? Because there's too many good kids that end up getting messed up. Too many good adults get messed up just because they let the words of an enticer into their life. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you'll help us, dear God, to be aware of the way that the devil works. Help us to fix, Lord, with your help, some things that are wrong in us. Then help us, Lord, even in our weakness, because we're all weak, to understand that there's certain voices we need to turn off in our lives. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd use this to help us. In Jesus' name, amen.